This is the day. This is the day on which it all hinges, really. This is the day on which our entire faith rises or falls. Christ has not, if indeed Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. But we do believe. We come this morning in joy, and we proclaim with all our hearts, Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that begins in the garden. Have you noticed that a number of crucial moments in the story of our relationship with God occur in a garden? God plants a garden in Eden. God is the gardener. And then places the newly created man and woman there, walking with them in the cool of the day. And all that disastrous business with the serpent and the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the willful disobedience, the agonizing confrontation, the confession, and then the banishment from the garden. Yes, it all takes place in a garden. A garden figures prominently in the stories we have been hearing throughout this Holy Week. The gospel accounts of Jesus' passion and death. After Jesus' final meal with his disciples, they head out across a valley to a garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives. John's gospel proceeds immediately to the arrest of Jesus, but the other gospel writers tell of Jesus' agonized prayer in the garden called Gethsemane, a prayer raised while his friends sleep peacefully beneath the rustling leaves, inhaling the fragrance of juniper and hyacinth. And then there is the crucifixion. John mentions almost as an afterthought, there was a garden in the place where Jesus was crucified, and in that garden, there was a new tomb. Jesus was crucified in a place with a garden, and there he was buried. This is the day that begins in the garden. There is a well-known Victorian poem, a fragment of which has become famous, that says, "The kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth. One is nearer to God's heart in the garden than anywhere else on earth." I suspect that poet spent some time pondering gardens and our salvation history. From the creation and great expulsion from the Garden of Eden to the suffering and death of Jesus, to this morning's encounter between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, God's heart does seem to be beating in a garden. It seems to be beating there for us. It is the morning of the first day of the week, and coming to the garden tomb while it is still dark, Mary finds the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. She rushes to tell two disciples, Simon Peter and the one Jesus loved, who we believe to be John, the writer of this eyewitness account. And they in turn rush to the garden to investigate the scene. The beloved disciple enters the empty tomb and he believes. And then we come to Mary, weeping in the garden. Morning is breaking. Perhaps it is getting a little lighter. The birds are awakening and beginning to call to one another. The dew is still on the roses. As she weeps, she bends over into the tomb. She sees two white-robed angels who ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And her answer shows that Mary is focused on what she believes has happened. She clearly believes that the torture and cruelty of these 3 days has been compounded by a further cruel act. She believes that Jesus' body has been stolen. Resurrection is not a thought Mary is prepared to entertain. She expects to see a dead body, and finding it gone, she accounts for it logically. Her faith in the resurrection promise still needs some work. Alas, the angels are no more helpful than the disciples. Mary turns away only to encounter Jesus himself standing there, though she does not recognize him. And he too asks her, "Woman, why are you crying?" He also asks, "Who is it you are looking for?" And Mary supposes he is the gardener. And there it is again, the image of God in a garden, this time God the Son. Mary tells her sad tale again, hoping for a better outcome than she got from the two angels. Jesus speaks, but he does not say, "Don't you recognize me? It's me, Jesus. I'm alive." Neither does Jesus launch into some theological discourse on the resurrection of the body or a scriptural explanation of how his presence here is the fulfillment of prophecies that extend back to Isaiah and beyond. No, he doesn't do any of those things. He says simply, "Mary." Jesus calls Mary Magdalene by name, Mary. And it is only in hearing her name called that Mary is able to consciously admit into her wounded soul the possibility of something new, something completely unexpected and illogical. It is only in hearing her name called that Mary is able to conceive of the possibility of resurrection. It is only in hearing her name called that Mary is able to understand that in the garden she is indeed near to God, the God who had come in the form of a humble teacher and servant, the God who put all others' salvation ahead of his own pain and suffering, the God of love and compassion, the God who to this day shows us how to live. Maybe there is something to this idea of Jesus as the gardener. He did love to talk about seeds sown in all kinds of places, rocky soil, footpaths, the good brown earth. He loved to talk about tiny seeds that yielded amazing bounties. Jesus loved to talk about God's love for all of us in ways that might occur only to a gardener. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," hinting that we are already one with him in the most organic way imaginable, and that it is almost impossible to know where he ends and where we begin. Jesus said that God cares for every flower, every lily of the field, despite the fact that flowers do not earn their keep, and that as beautiful as lilies are, we are even more precious in God's eyes. Maybe Jesus was gardening that morning as the light grew stronger and the woman in front of him wept for her lost Lord. Maybe it felt right to him, after all, because he had said about green growing things to put his hands into the good earth and to work to bring something out of that darkness. Perhaps just as he was gardening, he himself had emerged from the darkness of the tomb. This is the day on which it all hinges. Mary saw and heard her name called, and she believed. She encountered the risen Lord. And so what did Mary have that morning that we don't have? What do we need so that we too can experience the resurrection joy this Easter morning? Mary came to the garden heartbroken, grieving the loss of her rabbi, her teacher, her Lord, the most important person in her life. Mary came with a profound, heartbreaking loss. And though she didn't know it, with a deep and burning need, she also had the need for resurrection. What about us today? Do we come with a loss? Do we come in need of resurrection? Have we lost a mother, father, husband, wife, the love of our life? Have we lost a child, a grandparent, the best friend in the world, the best teacher, boss, aunt, uncle, kin by blood or by love? Have we lost faith because of difficult times in our lives? Are we scared because of the attacks on morality and truth all around us? Let's face it, almost every one of us is longing for resurrection. Mary asked questions. Where is my Lord? Where have you taken him? And when a matched set of angels, mind you, did not give a satisfactory answer, she went looking for someone who could answer her. Do you have questions? Are you willing to keep asking them? Are you willing to keep seeking until you find the one with the answer? Mary opened her mind and her heart to hear the voice of her Lord calling her by name. Even though she did not know it, the voice of Jesus was the only voice she wanted to hear. And her own name, that intimate knowing of who she was in all her grieving humanity, was the only word, whether she knew it or not. She wanted an encounter with resurrection. Do you have a desire, a deep, burning, restless desire for an encounter with the risen Christ? Do you have a longing to hear God call you by name? For God to know you intimately, a desire so great you are willing to open your heart and your mind. Thank God, for this is indeed the day the Lord has made. You have come to the garden. So, friend, why are you weeping? Woman, man, child of God, what sorrow burdens your soul? Whom are you looking for? Whose heart are you seeking? There is one who has been looking for you, who has been calling you by name. There is a gardener who wants to plant the seed of resurrection faith in your heart. His name is Jesus, and he is risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this glorious Easter morning, we do bow humbly before you, recognizing that by the sacrifice that Jesus has made on a cross, this morning we can celebrate. We can celebrate the resurrection, knowing that we share in that resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are humbled. Lord, help each of us to truly open our hearts and our minds, to hear the words that you speak to us, to hear you calling our names. And Lord, we pray that we will have the courage to step forward when we hear those words, and that we will indeed become the disciples of our Lord. This morning, we thank you for times of joy and fellowship. We thank you for the bounty of food that we partook this morning. We pray, Lord, that you will be with all of us as we celebrate this Easter holiday with family and friends. But we know that there are those who are not experiencing that joy today. We know there are those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are in places of war. Lord, this morning we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in Christ in the country of Sri Lanka, whose churches have been bombed on this glorious Easter morning. We pray for them and their families, and we pray, Lord, for your peace. Lord, it is in true humility that we ask for your healing hand on those who are in need of your healing, and for those, Lord, who face uncertainties in their future. We pray that you will give them comfort and courage. So thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for loving us so much that you are willing to sacrifice on our behalf. We pray, Lord, that you will now join us as we pray in the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.